college football.
Can he take this home?
You've come to the right place.
He's gone! Touchdown again, Josh Adams!
This is your home for Chicago's college tailgate.
Downfield looking for Godwin into his hands, and guess which dogs are barking first? Ugga, get after it!
Chicago's college tailgate.
Fires to the end zone, touchdown! Alabama wins!
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
The game is over! The Wildcats prevail!
It's time for Chicago's college tailgate on ESPN 1000.
The open field. It's the corner.
Got a great block. Unbelievable! 56 yards! Touchdown, USC!
This is Chicago's college tailgate, along with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah. Here's Jonathan Hood.
Week 6 of Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app, along with Adam Abdallah and Chris Black. Jonathan Hood with you. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN 1000 CCT. Also on the Facebook wall, facebook.com. We are building a bridge to Notre Dame football right here on the home of the Irish, ESPN 1000, as they take on Virginia Tech. One of the greatest environments at night in college football is in Blacksburg, Virginia. Notre Dame will be taking on Va Tech. The Fighting Irish have jumped out to a 5-0 record for the first time since 2014 and the third time under Coach Brian Kelly. Their most recent victory, Adam, a big win against Stanford. Again, you're talking about two ranked opponents now that the Irish is able to get through. And so they really had the momentum going into Blacksburg tonight.
Yeah, but Notre Dame has not beaten a ranked team on the road since Temple 3 years ago. Brian Kelly, 1-9 in six seasons on the road against a ranked opponent. Ian Book had a great game last week, so it'll be interesting to see how he goes into this hostile environment to Virginia Tech. Oklahoma did Notre Dame a favor today by losing to Texas in the Red River rivalry shootout game.
Texas is back, folks!
So now you look to tonight and a possible trip-up game in Virginia Tech. Could be a hostile, will be a hostile environment, as they say, for Ian Book and Notre Dame. Will they rise to the occasion and pave their way into the college football playoff? We'll see.
Here's what we know about Notre Dame coming into the season. This was going to be a really good defense. In fact, what we've seen to this point is they are about a top five defense the Fighting Irish have. The thing that we have learned since the start of the season is I think Brian Kelly has found his quarterback. Ian Book was outstanding last week against Stanford. He was good the week before. He had four touchdowns last week. And if you have a quarterback who can go into the hostile environment that you guys are suggesting in Blacksburg and play well with that top five defense, Notre Dame's sitting pretty as they head towards the college football playoff.
Yeah, Notre Dame has scored 94 points in two games. That's a 47-point average, folks, since Ian Book took over in place of Brandon Winbush. Some thoughts now from Brian Kelly as we get ready for Notre Dame and Va Tech. He says it's been a good week of prep.
You know, I like our preparation. They were, in the same place as they've been, other than obviously a lot more noise, very loud. We had it up to about 115 decibels, so it's been loud out there. So, we prepared for the elements. Now it's, really stay away from any of the distractions and play. So, I liked our preparation this week. We're prepared to play. We have no excuses.
So the thoughts there from Brian Kelly. Also, it's going to be Frank Beamer night in Blacksburg. And, Coach, there's a new coach in place, Coach Fuente. He says, without question, Notre Dame is the best opponent that they've had all season.
We turn our attention to Notre Dame, the most complete and talented team certainly we've played to date. Really have things clicking in all areas of the game. Made a change at quarterback and the last 2 weeks they've been very explosive, averaging about 47 points a game, I think. And defensively, through the entire year, they've played elite defense, giving up less than 20 points a game. So it's going to be a tremendous challenge for our team. I know we'll have a great atmosphere, but we've got to do a great job of preparing and taking this young squad into this ball game.
Adam, there's no question in my mind that the changes at quarterback, not only with Clemson, but also at Notre Dame, is a direct result of what Alabama's done with Tua. The offensive philosophy, the quarterback changes in an attempt to get in the habit of not just winning games, but also having a prolific offense. The reason why that Book's in this spot, it's the reason why that Clemson went with Lawrence, the reason why that you're seeing these top teams changing quarterbacks and changing offensive philosophies on the fly is all direct, I think, correlation to Tua and Alabama.
Well, I think that that's part of it, too, and I think that Brian Kelly finally realized that we have a championship-level defense, and we need to score. And it was on Brandon Wimbush to come in and make changes to the way he throws the ball and be more accurate with his throws, and it's something he could not do. So a change had to be made. And so far, Ian Book, last week, 24 of 33 for 278 yards, 4 touchdowns, 7 total touchdowns so far, and no interceptions. And he's going to have a chance this tonight to take advantage of a Virginia Tech defense that is very susceptible to the pass. They're 100th in yards per attempt allowed, 90th in completion percentage against, and 123rd in passing yards allowed per game. Not very good at defending the pass, this Virginia Tech defense. So it's going to be a big test for Ian Book, but it's one that he should be able to pass given how bad this Virginia Tech defense is in their secondary and giving up big plays, and something that Notre Dame and Ian Book has been able to add now that Ian Book has become the quarterback.
We know how this works, right? All the stats suggest that Notre Dame should play well tonight. They should beat Vatek, but it's college football, and they're college kids, and things happen at night in Blacksburg, and things happen in college football, especially when you assume the college football playoff road is clear for you, right? So, like, it's one of those things that we see this game, and we look at all the stats and the yards per play and the defensive stats, and everything is in favor of Notre Dame coming into this game. They have the better quarterback. They have the better defense. They have the better head coach, quite frankly. But if you look at just the way things have gone today, you can't let this trip you up against Virginia Tech on the road here.
This is a, what do I want to call it? A susceptible Saturday. Yep. Is that what I want to say it is?
Sure.
We saw Oklahoma go down to Texas. You see right now Florida beating LSU going into halftime. There are games here where ranked opponents can go down. To me, Oklahoma, you're out of the playoff. Sorry, you lost the game. I think there's going to be enough undefeated teams. And like you said, Chris, going into the hostile environment, if you want to play a game tonight, you're sitting at home on your couch watching this game, enjoying. You want to have a little fun? You want to play a little drinking game with your friends?
Let's get drunk. Let's do it.
Every time, there are certain things that I love to watch during college football games that production crews go to. There's the big thermometer during weather games.
Yes.
You know what you're going to get?
Yeah. Early in the season?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know what
you're
going to
get?
South?
You know what you're going to get tonight? The decibel meter.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to get whoever is doing sidelines tonight with the decibel meter saying, look at how loud it is down here as they play Enter Sandman.
That's not how Maria Taylor sounds, but yes, she will be doing
the live. She's going to be yelling. Yeah, she's going to be yelling because it's going to be loud.
It is going to be loud.
As long as Brian Kelly's not yelling at her.
Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Jonathan, Adam, and Chris with you. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN 1000 CCT. Indeed, Joe Tessitore.
Texas is back, folks.
Indeed, Texas is back because Texas was able to get the job done in a thriller. The Red River
Shootout.
I mean,
rivalry.
Shootout. I mean, I don't know what Fox was doing today, but showdown? No. No one's calling it the Red River Showdown.
If I showed you a score that ended 48-45, what do you call that?
That's a shootout. Come on.
And it's a long-time rivalry between the two teams, between Texas and Oklahoma. If I told you, Chris, that there's one quarterback in the game that went 19 for 26, good for 304 yards and 4 touchdowns, and had 11.7 average, you would think that'd be enough to win, right? That was Kyler Murray, the Oklahoma quarterback. And you look at the other side of the tracks with Texas as Dicker the kicker came through in a big way to help Texas with a victory over Oklahoma.
Yeah, Sam Ehlinger also with the 2 touchdowns. He went for 300 yards. And when you watch the game go back and forth, Texas really jumped on Oklahoma early.
Texas is back, folks!
Then 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter from Oklahoma. Woo! And that's where you saw the shootout kind of take place in the fourth quarter as Oklahoma climbed all the way back. Dicker with the kick to win the game in the shootout down at the Cotton Bowl. And Texas, they move on. Now they're 5-1 on the season. Oklahoma, they get that first loss. I think, as Abdallah suggested, they're going to get bounced from the college football playoff conversation at the moment, unless they can run the table. I mean, I was reading what Heather Dinich was writing earlier today, right after the game, and it seems as if the Big 12's playoff hopes have taken a nosedive. Oklahoma's loss to Texas, the Sooners' chances now to reach the semifinals sank to 14%, according to ESPN's playoff predictor. West Virginia, which has the only undefeated record right now in the Big 12, They're the only team that has an opportunity to run the table undefeated in the Big 12. But the problem is they weren't looked upon as a great force coming into the season. So they got a lot of work ahead of them. And Oklahoma is still the team with their defense and what their FPI kind of shows that if they go undefeated from here on out, they could actually get back into the playoff conversation. But it's tough to bounce back after losing today.
I don't think they do, because going into today, you had the top seven teams were undefeated. And all last week, the conversation after the AP Top 25 was, well, people were already starting to fight about the college football playoff, right? And there are now four solid teams now that Oklahoma's out. I had five teams, but you can't have a five-team playoff, obviously.
Right.
So you have the four teams right now that Oklahoma loses. But this is what's great about college football. All this stuff takes care of itself. Oklahoma loses. Notre Dame could be on upset alert tonight. All of these things, LSU might be out if they're losing to Florida right now. They have to face Georgia in a couple weeks, and then Georgia has to eventually face Alabama in the SEC championship games. All these things will take care of themselves. Yeah, it's great to argue about it and stuff now, and it's good for banter back and forth on talk shows and with your friends and stuff, and fighting with people on Twitter about arguing about how soft Alabama's schedule is. But all of this stuff figures itself out, and Oklahoma did a lot of people a favor today by being beaten by Texas.
I just want to know your thoughts, though, Adam, about Oklahoma. Say, for instance, Oklahoma is able to run the table for the rest, right? It's at TCU, K-State, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, tough, Kansas, and West Virginia. West Virginia definitely is the thing you circle right there, mm-hmm. the last game of the season. What if they continue to roll? It's very likely for them to be able to finish out and with victories, except the West Virginia game, which is going to be tough.
To me, if we're looking at who's going to make the college football playoff, mm-hmm. I've got Alabama going undefeated, beating Georgia in the SEC championship game, which will be a playoff game for a spot for the SEC. Then you have Clemson, who avoided the loss last week. They look great today. They're already up 21-0. They will end up going undefeated unless something with Clemson happens. They make it in. Ohio State survives Penn State last week in the whiteout game at Penn State. They survive in advance. They've got their big game against Michigan at the end of the season. Michigan State losing to Northwestern today, that makes that game less meaningful for Ohio State. But Michigan will be a different team than we saw that lost to Notre Dame at the end of the season when they have to face Ohio State. So that's their big game.
So you don't have the Big 12 in this mix at all, though.
No, because then you go to Notre Dame, and if Notre Dame wins tonight, they have a pretty easy schedule moving out. To me, you've got four undefeated teams. That's it. It's easy. It should be the shortest discussion the college football committee has. You have four undefeated teams. That's who we're going with.
At least that's where we stand today for sure.
Yeah, and the problem that Texas is going to face is that they're 16th in strength of schedule, and you look at maybe West Virginia, they're 59th in strength of schedule. So if West Virginia is the team out of the Big 12 that runs the table, people are going to point to the fact that they didn't really play anyone compared to the other teams that Adam just laid out who are going to be undefeated at the end. And that's why you kind of looked at Oklahoma. If they could have been the team to go undefeated, that's the team people would have kind of jumped on. And that's where it kind of dies, because even their strength of schedule was 67th. So the Big 12 overall, any candidate that they put out there is not going to have the same pizzazz, the same hype behind it, just because if you look at the strength of schedule, people are going to say it's a bit of a joke. And that's why when we get to that point of the season, the Big 12 needed a team with a superpower, like a super player, mm-hmm. like Kyler Murray,
right,
to kind of lead them to get into that playoff conversation. Once you get one loss, it's not going to help. And even look at West Virginia. They have Will Grier, a Heisman candidate.
Right.
But that's not going to be enough to get it there either.
Jonathan, Adam, and Chris with you here on Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. By the way, a tip of the cap to the Wildcats of Northwestern.
Go Cats!
They were able to get the job done. They will get their read done properly by me now. Now that they have a victory, I was adding Akron and Duke to that read before about Chicago's Big Ten team and all that. But so now I will read it properly now, Eric.
Go Cats.
Because the Cats was able to get the job done. It just shows you how weird college football is.
Oh, yeah.
You lose to Akron, inexplicable that you lose that game. You lose against Duke. There's no shame to lose to Duke. Good, solid ACC team. But then you go on the road and you beat D'Antoni.
Well,
how did that happen?
Pat Fitzgerald proving once again, well, I'll have a job for life.
Go Cats.
Just from the win.
Yeah. You beat a Big Ten team on the road.
How about that? Lewerke getting worked.
Well, I mean, Clayton Thorson was pretty good today, and the defense stepped up. There were multiple times where Penn State had the ball with 6 minutes to go. Two different times. Michigan State mm-hmm. had the ball. They could have drove the field, and they could have tied the game up. Instead, they were forced to punt. Northwestern's defense stood tall, and they got a win in East Lansing. And it is a shocking win to me, just as much as Akron beating Northwestern a couple weeks ago. I mean, and that's a problem for the Big Ten, because we thought that Michigan State would be one of the powers of the Big Ten this season. They already have two losses on the season.
Isn't that amazing? Time for a scoreboard.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Here's Chris Black. Chris?
All right, guys. Current games going on in the top 25 at this moment. Clemson at halftime is up 28-0 on Wake Forest. At halftime, LSU and Florida. Florida is up 14-10. They're the home team in that one. The face-off between Florida State and Miami at this moment, 1:50 left in the second quarter. Florida State is up 10-7 on Miami. Is that an upset?
Yeah.
I mean, Florida State's been bad this year, no? All right.
Well, they're not Stanford. Miami's not Stanford, that's for sure.
Hold the upset Twitter sounder close to you, Jonathan, because 7 minutes in the second quarter, Indiana and Ohio State. Indiana, 17. Ohio State, 14.
Woo! It's also now 16-7 Florida State over Miami. Another touchdown.
Look out now. The upset bird's in with us.
At halftime, Iowa State's up 30-21 on Oklahoma State. It's also an upset watch. And then Arizona State, with 5 minutes left in the second quarter, is up 14-7 on number 21 ranked Colorado.
Herm getting it done. Preaching.
And there's also one other game going on in the Big Ten at this moment. Iowa and Minnesota. Iowa's up 28-17 with 50 seconds left in the second quarter. And that's the scoreboard.
All right. Don't forget, if you ever hear the upset bird there, that means it's an upset alert taking place. So we always keep you abreast four times an hour what's going on in college football here on ESPN 1000, along with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah, Jonathan Hood with you here. We're going to hear from Matt Fortuna, by the way, at the bottom of the hour, covers the Fighting Irish like a blanket for theathletic.com. We'll hear from him coming up at 4:35 right here on ESPN 1000. The number one team in the country, the Alabama Crimson Tide, getting the job done as they win again here. And as I told Adam before the show, I said, you know, this is really – Tua's turning into like a starting pitcher with a quality start because Jalen Hurts is the closer. And so all you need – this guy is going to march in – winning the Heisman Trophy, never to ever play in the fourth quarter. I think that's what's going to happen here because there's no need. He's that solid, and the thing that I like about him the most, clearly, is that he makes it look easy. The offensive line gives him time. The receivers and Tua are on the same page. So it just the timing and how easy it looks offensively as they were able to really steamroll Arkansas today. Adam, that's what stood out to me the most. But I don't think there's any question there that the starting pitcher for Alabama, not the quarterback, the starter, Tua, getting the job done again.
Well, he'll win the Cy Young for quarterbacks, as Kyler Murray should.
The only Heisman Trophy winner to win the Cy Young.
Yeah, 10 of 13 for 334 yards and four touchdowns. He got the benefit of some long yards after the catch by multiple receivers today. But you're right. He just makes it look so easy. Yeah, they were playing Arkansas, who's now 1-5 on the season. They're not a great team. Yeah.
Where's Balaam when we need him? Good God Almighty.
But once again, Alabama just proving that even though they're playing a soft schedule, the way that they're dominating teams and how good they look when they're doing it and how this young secondary is being able to come together and stop teams. Yeah, they don't cover. But, you know, don't bet on Alabama with these big spreads. I think that's what we've all learned. Don't bet on Alabama, these big spreads.
Over the years.
Yeah. It's always been like that. So I think that they look like the best team in the country right now. They're clicking on all cylinders. I think that Tua will eventually have to play a full game. I think that when they face LSU, it's going to be a tough matchup, and he will have to actually play in through the third quarter and some of the fourth quarter. He will get fourth quarter reps. Oh, wow. He won't be showered and in gym clothes after halftime. I mean, he wasn't really today, but you know, you get the point. He only threw 13 passes.
He completed 10.
Yeah.
Six of them didn't go for touchdowns.
It's insane.
Is that the best way to say it, right? He threw four touchdown passes. He completed 10 passes overall in the day. Six of his passes, what a failure, did not go for touchdowns. I mean, it is crazy how good this team is. And listen, if you've listened to this show or if this is the first time you've listened to the Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000, we have told you from the start of the season, this Alabama team is not like the rest of them. Usually Alabama wins with the defense, special teams, playing a running style, not really doing too much offensively down the field. This year it's different. With Tua Tagovailoa, they are a different team. They have an elite quarterback who's probably the best in college football. They are lighting up the scoreboard. Their defense is just as good as normal. Saban is salty, and this is a normal Alabama season with a little bit more offense.
Look, listen, Pee Wee from Tuscaloosa, who called into Nick Saban's radio show a week ago. If you want him to run the blank out of the ball 50 times, he will. This is the new Alabama, like he told you. Is that what you want, Pee Wee? No, coach. Good. That's what I thought, Pee Wee. Thanks for your call.
As Saban clicks.
Saban's hanging his own
Well, he's running his own show, of course. He's got his own board. It's Nick Saban. You can do it all. But I think that what stands out to me is that when I'm watching Nick Saban and when I hear his radio show on the Tide, by God, when I hear his radio show, it's one of these things where it's almost like he's not embarrassed by it. But the thing is, he's got to understand is if your team is this good, you're going to put up 50s and 60s, man, you just got to be able to answer these questions. Every time I see him, he's almost red-faced to answer the questions. Like, dude, yes, your team's that great, and you have to deal with it because you recruited it, you've coached it up, and this is what it looks like. Adam, you mentioned it at the first of the season after the Louisville game about on his radio show on the Tide. He said, look, man, we got to have this Mamba mentality. Well, that's the Mamba mentality. Mm-hmm. That means play with a ruthless aggression. That way don't have the committee wondering, are you number two? Are you number three? Mm-mm. F that. No, we're the best, and we're going to show you we're the best. And that's what they're doing every single week.
Which is why you see scores like 65-31 against Arkansas, 56-14. The lowest point total they've put up so far is 45 against A&M, which is one of the only ranked team that they've played so far.
Well, you score 41 points heading into halftime, and then in the fourth quarter, when you're up and the game's over, you put up 17 on the board.
Okay, I want you both to answer this question for me, because this is the latest thing from Nick Saban from this week regarding fans. And we heard this last year too now, but it's like once a year, he just calls out Alabama fans. If all three of us went to Alabama and we were students, and you know walking in, yeah, it's 100 degrees, yeah, it's going to be a great time because we're going to tailgate and probably get drunk going into the game and then drink afterwards. Are you staying all four quarters for every home game?
No.
If it's Alabama?
No chance.
Are you?
No. No way. No.
How about three quarters? I'd probably stay for – here's what I would do. I'd still be at the stadium but around the stadium. I probably wouldn't be in my seat, but I'd still be hanging around, I would think, the stadium.
11 o'clock kick?
Yeah, it was not that many of those.
No, I know. That's the point. Is that – so he was upset – 2 weeks ago because of the late arriving crowd, because it was an 11 o'clock kick. The student section wasn't full at 11 because, you know, mimosas. So they weren't there early enough for him. This is what I try to explain to people that don't follow Alabama football. They don't follow college football in general. This is October. October, Saban rants about the attendance. In September, he rants about, oh, don't overlook these small schools that we play. Each opponent is equal. That's his rant.
Or write something negative about us, please.
No, that's November. November is snake season. Oh, that's rat poison season. Oh. Yeah. You can't have rat poison season is November. So once the calendar turns to November and we get to rat poison season, that's when you'll hear all of that stuff. Is this the greatest Alabama team ever? You'll hear all that kind of stuff. And he will nix that as soon as he can come November 1st.
He said people who don't watch or listen or do anything with college football. Was he talking directly to the Waddle and Sylvie program?
No. Carmen Yurko are involved there too, but.
All right. Well, I mean, hey.
I'm just
That's
saying
on you, man.
That if you literally do a Google News search of Nick Saban and attendance and just look October 1st, 2017, October 2016, October 25th, he does it every single year in October because it takes the attention away from the team.
Waddle, I'm gonna say we don't watch college football.
I said it to them on the show. I go, this isn't new.
Know,
they're like, your guys going after
it.
Fans. I go, and? It's October.
But now you're saying it behind my back.
I'm not. It's on the air.
behind my back.
You don't know where the radio is. It could be behind him.
It could be, yeah, but it could be, yeah. I'm just saying that this is what Saban does.
Waddle.
You love college football? You've come to the right place. Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. The CCT Scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
We'll hear from Matt Fortuna, covers Notre Dame like a blanket in just a moment. But first, a scoreboard. Here's Chris Black. Chris?
Let's take a look at the top 25 right now. Clemson's up on Wake Forest 28-0 at halftime. LSU and Florida, they are just about to start the third quarter. Florida's up 14-10 on LSU. Miami and Florida State about to head to halftime. 40 seconds left in the second quarter. Florida State's up 17-7. On the Hurricanes, that game on ABC at the moment. Other games going on in the top 25, Ohio State and Indiana. 4 minutes left in the second quarter. Ohio State's up 21-17 on the Hoosiers. Also in the top 25, Oklahoma State is down 30-21 to Iowa State with 13 minutes left in the third quarter. Iowa State coming after the 25th-seeded Oklahoma State Cowboys. And also at halftime, Arizona State and Colorado tied at 14. One other game going on in the Big Ten at this moment, that is Iowa and Minnesota. At halftime, Iowa leads 28-17.
This is your home for Chicago's college tailgate and the home for Fighting Irish football, ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Along with Adam Abdallah and Chris Black, Jonathan Hood with you for week 6 of Chicago's college tailgate here on ESPN 1000. If you're a college football fan, tell them before Notre Dame football, we're here before the games. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN1000CCT. Also, the Facebook wall, Facebook.com. Friend of the program, Matt Fortuna, covers the Fighting Irish for TheAthletic.com. He joins us here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app, as we get ready for the Irish and VaTech. Hello, Matt.
How's it going, Jonathan?
Going well, thank you. First and foremost, here we are, an undefeated Irish team. What has impressed you so much as with this Irish team so far this season?
It would have to be Ian Book. I mean, the questions about this program coming into the season resided with the quarterback position. For three games with Brandon Wimbush, there was very little done to make us think that this was an offense that was ready to take off. So I think you have to tip your cap right now to Brian Kelly, Chip Long, and the entire coaching staff for making a change at that position on their own before they were forced to do it, because the way they were playing on the offensive side of the ball, Brandon Wimbush, they were going to lose a game sooner rather than later. So it was going to force their hand. They got proactive instead of reactive. If you don't always see that, you can coach for a loss.
Hold on, Matt. We'll try to reestablish the line there. He was fading out on us, Chris.
He faded away like that episode of Atlanta where the guy just pieces out and it just disappears. Yeah. We lost Matt.
I was just trying to listen harder in my headphones. I was like, what's going on here?
It's like he was falling down a canyon.
Slowly.
There's a difference. There's a reason why that dude was fading out, though, in that episode of Atlanta, so I remember, as we reestablish now with Matt Fortuna from The Athletic. Chris, go right ahead.
So Matt, what I have been impressed by the most from Notre Dame this year is their defense. How good is this defense for the Fighting Irish, and can they carry the Fighting Irish to a national championship this year?
I don't know about national championship. I do think the playoff could be in the cards, though, if they get through tonight, because that schedule really opens up. I mean, Florida State, USC, even Northwestern, so many of these teams that we thought were going to be real threats to the Irish coming into the season really haven't played like themselves so far this season. So I think the playoff is a possibility. Are they good enough to win it all? I mean, first off, I think Alabama's played another sport than the other 129 teams in the country right now. So I think immediately you got to nix a national championship out of the possibility. But I do think they're still a step below, just top to bottom depth-wise, from the Clemson, the Ohio States, the Georgias of the world. But I do think this is the best defense we've seen in South Bend, at least since that 2012 team that made it to the national title game and had the number two defense in the country.
What is this team going to look like with left guard Alex Barrs out with a torn ACL and MCL for the rest of the season?
It's a good question. I mean, he was arguably their most valuable player on the offensive side of the ball. That's a fifth-year starter, a captain who was kind of the heart and soul of that offensive line. And that's an offensive line that has done wonders in terms of keeping the book upright, letting the running game take off and really being the backbone of this program for the better part of 2 years now. So when you lose a key cog there, especially on the left side, that opens up a couple of questions, especially when you're going into a hostile environment like Blacksburg, playing a team that's always good on defense and coached by one of the best defensive coordinators probably of all time in Bud Foster. So that's actually my biggest question about this team heading into tonight is how they're going to respond to the loss of Alex Bars.
Matt Fortuna covers the Fighting Irish for TheAthletic.com. He joins Jonathan, Adam, and Chris on Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Matt, we were talking earlier to start our show talking about Clemson and talking about Notre Dame, how the change at quarterback is a direct correlation of what's happening with Alabama. I just think that these teams that are in the stratosphere of the top five, top six, just want to be able to put more points on the board, kind of just give themselves a shot offensively just in case they would take on a team like Alabama. Do you buy that at all?
With Clemson, I absolutely do, because when you look back to Clemson's last loss, it was in the playoff to Alabama when they scored just 6 points. And that was a Clemson defense that absolutely played good enough to win that game. And so when you look at the shortcomings on that roster, at least from last year coming into this year, it was not having a downfield passing attack. And when you get the number one quarterback in the country like Trevor Lawrence on your roster, that frees people up, both at skill positions and elsewhere across the roster, to open things up and to make you a threat to put points on the board. And I think absolutely when you look at Clemson, you're looking at the long-term effect of it, not just the week-to-week effect, because I think they were certainly comfortable with the senior and Kelly Bryant helping them get to the playoffs and win the ACC for the fourth straight year. I think Notre Dame is a little bit different. I mean, they were beating Ball State by like 8 points with Brandon Wimbush at quarterback. They were beating Vanderbilt by five. I mean, I don't even think championship was on the radar of these guys when they were struggling to put those teams away in week two and week three. I think they just want to be able to run their offense as they see fit, which, frankly, they really haven't been able to do since Chip Long got there. Last year was a very one-dimensional attack, a very good rushing game, but they got exposed once the book was out on them when they got to November and they played better teams like Miami and Stanford. So I think even people inside that building in Notre Dame now are pleasantly surprised and impressed with just how well this change has played out so far. I mean, I think they had faith in Ian Book to win them some games. But to see the offense take off the way it has, to see them put up 500-something yards on what's traditionally been a dominant Stanford defense, to see everyone from the running backs to the tight ends to the wide receivers just clicking more, playing more free, just being in sync at 1 through 11 as a unit when they move down the field. I just think the top-down effect of a new guy under center has been night and day and has just paid dividends in ways I don't think anyone in the program could have possibly foreseen.
The game of the day to this point was Texas beating Oklahoma 48-45. Were you surprised at what the Longhorns did earlier today?
I was surprised at the manner in which they did it. I mean, it's a rivalry game, and it's always close no matter what the spread is or no matter how good one team is compared to the other coming in. But for that Texas offense that lost to Maryland, that struggled to put away Tulsa, for them to put up 48 points and not even have to punt the ball until the second half, I mean, what do you do if you're Oklahoma? I mean, if they had even a bad defense last year, I think they win the national championship. Instead, it was an atrocious defense, and it laid to waste what was a historically good offense with a historically good quarterback. You have the best offensive coach in the game as your head coach right now in Lincoln Riley. I know Mike Stoops is Bob Stoops' brother. I know there's a lot of closeness there between him and Riley. And by all accounts, Mike Stoops is a guy who's been an invaluable member of that program behind the scenes, especially with the transition to Lincoln Riley these past few years. But when it comes to X's and O's, I mean, that defense is a joke. I mean, there's no reason you should have another Heisman candidate quarterback put up 45 points against your rival and still lose that game. I mean, it's inexcusable. And I just wonder at what point does that become too much for Oklahoma to handle?
As always, Matt, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Anytime, my friends. Thank you.
It is Matt Fortuna, who covers college football like a blanket, with us here on Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jonathan, Adam, and Chris with you. Georgia will be on the will be playing at 6:30 tonight. They'll take on Vanderbilt. Georgia coming off a victory against Tennessee, 38-12. Some thoughts from Kirby Smart. He says that the problems with Georgia is the defense and as well as the offensive line trying to protect Jake Fromm.
Yeah, I don't know that it's an individual problem. I think it's a total effect. I mean, you had a couple good pressures against us against Middle Tennessee. Again, we saw Nidus in a one-on-one situation that he lost. And then, you know, Isaiah gave up one on the other side. And We just got to win our one-on-one battles. I mean, it's no different than a corner getting beat at by receiver. So, you know, what do? You go back to the drawing board and go get better. You don't scheme up some new thing because at the end of the day, there's going to be four or five one-on-one opportunities. You got to win your one-on-ones. And our guys, we're going to challenge them to do that. And we know that when we protect the passer, we're really efficient. We're an efficient team. We can make big plays. We got explosive players. We got to win our one-on-one battles because if we're good in the run game, good play action, and we can convert on third down, you're hard to stop. But at the end of the day, a lot of the times we've stopped ourselves more than somebody stopped us. And we'll work hard on it and try to get better at it.
So thoughts there from the head coach from Georgia, Kirby Smart. I will tell you guys that even though Georgia sits at the number two team in the country, as I told you guys at the start of the season, that Jake Fromm, no matter all of the fireworks that he provided last year as a freshman, still is going to go through some growing pains. And one of the reasons why is because that's not Todd Gurley. That's not Sonny Michel coming out running the football. That's Elijah Holyfield, who's nice, and DeAndre Swift, who's nice also. But they have to be able to learn as well. The other side of the football is that there's no Roquan Smith for Georgia either. These are not excuses. It's just what it is that you have a nice group of young players that have to develop. And I just think that Georgia is good for where they are right now. They are lucky to be in the number two spot, especially with the youth on that football team. But at the same time, I think that it's going to be about how they grow next year, the next couple years. But as is at number two, it's a really good spot to be at this point in time.
I will say at this point, Georgia has scored 40 points four times this season. The other game that they didn't score 40 points, they scored 38 on Tennessee.
Sure.
In the SEC East, they really don't have much competition. Now, Kentucky is undefeated. We'll address them at some point during the show here because their defense is fantastic and they have a tough test tonight. But if you really look at the SEC East, Georgia is just kind of humming along, doing what they need to do to get to the end of the season where they're going to face off against Alabama in the SEC championship game. And I get it. They haven't played to their best ability thus far, but I believe in Kirby Smart and I believe in the Bulldogs to kind of figure it out as they go, as they're still putting up 40 points per game at least.
Well, at that, and they're only allowing 13 points per game.
Yeah, it's been fantastic.
You still have a top defense. You still have a top offense. They can score when they want to. I don't think you've seen a perfect game from them yet.
Right.
That's the problem. And if I'm a Georgia fan, as you are, Jonathan, I'd be worried. This is a trap. You've got a trap game tonight.
Oh,
no,
please.
I don't know about
Vanderbilt's
tonight.
Never beaten a top five team.
Looking ahead to LSU.
October 13th is a tough one. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough
game.
But Vanderbilt? Get out of here.
Don't overlook.
See what Notre Dame did to them?
I saw, yeah.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Georgia is a better team.
I'm just saying. I hope that Kirby has instilled the Saban-like mentality that he was taught so well. Don't overlook any team. LSU can wait till next week. You've got Vanderbilt this week.
Here is what happened for the Bulldogs over the last 2 weeks. Clemson switched out quarterbacks, and thus now we question Clemson. And Georgia's by far the second-best team in the country, and there's no question about that.
There's no question. But I want to make it very clear, whether it's Clemson, whether it's Georgia, whether it's Notre Dame, we have to stop comparing them to Alabama. I'm just saying because...
So should we say that Georgia's the best team in the country and Alabama's just playing a different sport?
No, you just have to start asking people who is the second-best team in the country.
Right.
Well, yeah, I think we all agree it's Alabama.
The second-best team in the country is probably Georgia or, you know, Central Florida.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Let them in.
They did win the national championship last year.
Let them in. I'm the first one advocating to let them in.
All right, let's take a look at the
top
25 scoreboard.
Please come in.
Yeah.
Get your brains beat out.
They'll beat whoever the Big Ten sends to the Final Four. All right, Clemson right now in the third quarter, 12 minutes left. Clemson's up 35-0 on Wake Forest. 10 minutes left in the third quarter. LSU and Florida at the moment. Florida's up by 14-10. At halftime, Florida State is up 20-7 on Miami. Ohio State and Indiana, 40 seconds left in the second quarter. Ohio State's up 28-20 in that one. Also going on in the top 25, Oklahoma State is trailing Iowa State 37-28 at the moment with 10 minutes left in the third quarter. Halftime for Arizona State and Colorado tied at 14. And one other game going on in the Big Ten at this moment. Iowa in Minnesota with the third quarter just kicking off. Iowa leads 28-17.
Kentucky, pretty solid. We'll get to them next.
You love college football? You've come to the right place. Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN.
Yes.
College football's highest honor.
From now on, your name will be followed by the words Heisman Trophy Winner.
Who will be the Heisman?
Along with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah, here's Jonathan Hood.
Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Chris, let's take a look now at the Heisman Watch.
Thank you, Jonathan. Each week on ESPN.com, they have the experts select who they would pick as the Heisman each week throughout the season. So right now, leading the way, heading into this weekend, and then obviously after what we saw today with his 10 completions, six of them not for touchdowns, Tua Tagovailoa has four touchdowns today on the day, and he leads the Heisman tracking from the experts on ESPN.com. Number two on the list heading into the weekend was Kyler Murray, the quarterback from Oklahoma, with four touchdowns today. But with the loss, I wonder if that drops him back a little bit. And third on the list, Will Grier, the quarterback from West Virginia, a victory against Kansas today. Four touchdowns, but he had three interceptions, which could hurt as well. And Dwayne Haskins, who's playing right now, quarterback for Ohio State at the moment, 28-20, Ohio State up on Indiana at halftime. Haskins has gone for 19 of 22, 243 yards, and three touchdowns in the first half. So I would imagine Haskins will move above Grier and move above Kyler Murray heading into next week, but behind Tua Tagovailoa.
And when do we get the conversation that Tua isn't playing enough or isn't, like, I mean, he only threw 13 passes. He only played a half.
Hasn't thrown enough innings to be able to qualify.
Well, I mean, if you look at Kyler Murray had a game. Like, he had four touchdowns, three in the air, one on the ground.
Yeah.
Like, he's doing a lot. But
300 yards passing as
well.
Do
we just say, well, Tua's on an undefeated team and he's playing lights out when he's in there and they don't even need him in the fourth quarter? So
Here's my problem with Tua. He threw six passes that didn't go for touchdowns. That's my problem.
I mean, look, to see a kid struggle like that when the lights shine the brightest at Arkansas, it's a shame.
Fayetteville was too bright for him.
No, I think the question's going to be this. At what point, since we are in week six,
yes,
do we just say that this thing's over and Tua's going to win the Heisman no matter what?
Yes. But we have to still do the segment,
seven,
though.
Week eight?
No, we have to still do the segment.
We'll continue
though,
to do the segment. The Heisman House. But honestly, at what point do we get to in this season where we're just talking about second place, just like how we talked about Alabama being the number one team in the country, and we're only talking about teams who could be second in the country?
Okay, well, he might have 10 more touchdowns in 2 weeks because they play Missouri and Tennessee.
So for me, it's Tua. It is Will Grier. You mentioned Haskins from Ohio State. Rather. And I think that a close fourth is my guy, Benny Snell. From Kentucky, says Jimbo.
We're going to get challenged because, like I said before, it's not when there's no yards there. And you look down and say, well, we got him. It's second and five. I mean, I've never seen a guy that can wiggle and for a lack of a better term, he reminds me of the way Emmett used to run.
All right.
I mean, it's just constantly moving the chains. And he runs, and he's strong, and he's powerful. And all of a sudden, he breaks out. He's a very patient, and he finds space in places there aren't spaces, there shouldn't be. You know what I'm saying? And it's going to be a huge challenge. And we're playing the run very well, so it's going to be, you know, we're going to have to really tighten it down and tighten those screws to make sure. And then all of a sudden the quarterback's dynamic, so you can't forget that and totally commit there because he's so explosive in how he moves.
Jimbo Fisher, the head coach for Texas A&M, as A&M gets ready to take on number 13, Kentucky.
Take a breath, Jimbo.
No.
My Lord.
Not allowed to.
Wow.
Up there.
He was going to pass out.
He's got $90 million. He better not breathe.
He better reminds me of Emmett. No, he reminds me of Tariq Cohen. That's who he reminds me of. That little guy can get it done. Give me a Snell. Yeah, Benny Snell would definitely be in that conversation for me as well.
Yeah, if Kentucky stays undefeated, they beat Texas A&M, and that thing starts to roll, the Wildcats, I can see that. Absolutely.
You'll get invited.
Yeah,
you got to get the free flight out there.
You always have to have a running back involved.
Yeah, why not?
Pinch me. Kentucky's 5-0. What the hell? We will hear from Adam Thompson from CBS Sportsline, his thoughts on some of the best plays around college football. That is next on CCT.
All of the latest college football scores, previews, and lines. Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000. The CCT Scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
I'm Chris Black for Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Let's take a look at the top 25 scoreboard right now in college football. Clemson is up 35-3 on Wake Forest with 6 minutes left in the third quarter. 4 minutes left in the third quarter for LSU and Florida. Florida's up by 1, 14-13. Florida State's up on Miami, 20-7 with 13 minutes left in the third quarter. Taking a look at other scores in the top 25, Oklahoma State still trailing Iowa State at the moment, 37-28 with 4 minutes left in the third quarter. Arizona State and Colorado tied at 21 with 11 minutes left in the third quarter. And let's take a look at the only other game going on in the Big Ten at this moment, Iowa and Minnesota. Iowa's up 31-24 on Minnesota with 7 minutes left in the third quarter. And Indiana and Ohio State at halftime, 28-20, Ohio State with the lead. And that's the college, Chicago's College Tailgate scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 with Jonathan, Chris, and Adam on ESPN 1000. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN 1000 CCT and on Facebook at Chicago's College Tailgate.
We are building you a bridge to Notre Dame football right here on the home of the Irish, ESPN 1000. An hour from now, you will be hearing coverage of Notre Dame and Va Tech right here on ESPN 1000. Jonathan, Adam, and Chris with you. Please be joined by Adam Thompson from does a great job covering all of the angles for football and other sports on sportsline.com. And Adam joins us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jonathan, Adam, and Chris, thanks so much for joining us, Adam.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. The land of Lincoln, tearing it up today in college football world. What's going on over there?
Yeah, I guess so. Illinois with their last win of the season as they get the job done against Rutgers, and then Northwestern getting the upset in East Lansing. Very, very interesting. Well, I'll ask you this because we have a lot of limited games, I think, for the night cap here. But number 13, Kentucky, takes on Texas A&M at Kyle Field. How do you see that matchup with an undefeated Kentucky team on the road?
Yeah, if there's a primetime ESPN, Texas A&M obviously never an easy place to play, and UK is about a 6-point underdog. You know, talk about no respect. This is the 13th team, ranked team of the nation. They've covered every game so far this year, and they've been this is their fourth SEC game this year. They've won them all straight up, and they've been underdog in all three of them. So obviously, they'll come in fired up. They can play the no respect card once again. The key to this game is probably UK's quarterback Terry Wilson. He hasn't given opponents a reason to really pay that much attention to him. He has just 2 touchdowns through 5 games. He's kind of game managed his way to wins. He's had about 2/3 of his passes, but when you have Benny Snell to hand the ball off to, you're not really asked to do that much. He might be asked to do more though in this game, because A&M is one of the top 5 teams in the country in stopping the run. That includes the games against Clemson and Bama. They held them both, I think, under 120 yards each. So that'll be a big key for them. But UK's defense, you don't hear much about them, but they've held every opponent they've played this season to 20 or fewer points. So, including the 3 SEC games, that's 11 points per game against Florida, Mississippi State, and South Carolina. So that'll be a big matchup for them. I see, I think, UK is, 4-1 against the spread in their last 5 in the SEC. I like them to cover here at 5.5 to 6 points. I think they'll give A&M everything, they want. Trayvon Williams for A&M, he's only managed, against, I don't know if I want to say Alabama and Clemson are comparable to UK in terms of defense, but those are the two best defenses they face, and Williams, the A&M running back, had 31 yards in each of those games. So I think that if they hold them to under maybe 80, I think UK's got a chance to at least not lose by more than a field goal.
All right, stop hedging, Adam. Come on now. All that analysis, for God's sakes. I'm standing at the window with my money. I still don't know what the hell to do.
UK all the way, baby. How's that?
There we go.
They're gonna win straight up, but just to be sure, take those points. 5.5. It was 7. It's gone down to 5.5 today.
All right.
So I think people are starting to jump on the big blue bandwagon as the game comes up here in about an hour.
Notre Dame is a 7-point favorite on the road at Virginia Tech. Ian Book can take advantage of a Virginia Tech defense that's 100th in yards per attempt through the air allowed, 90th in completion percentage against, 123rd in passing yardage allowed per game. They're not very good in the secondary is what I'm trying to say. How do you see this one shaking out?
Yeah, I think you pretty much said it. I mean, Ian Book, you know, since he took over, the Notre Dame is averaging 550 yards a game against pretty decent competition. Now he'll take on a defense that got torched, you know, for 600 yards to Old Dominion. And it's not like Old Dominion's Appalachian State, this, you know, dangerous, you know, small school that you have to worry about. That was Old Dominion's only win all year. So, you know, they got beat by 40-something to Liberty. So clearly, you know, Notre Dame should have found something in there. I think this will be a huge day for a Book. And now you had Dexter Williams, you know, he finally got to play last week. He went off on Stanford for 160 yards. You know, Book and Williams, that's a 1-2 combo that's going to be tough going down the road. I wonder, you know, how much consideration, you know, they'll take into their head. I mean, this is probably the toughest game left on Notre Dame's schedule. You go into Lane Stadium at night, Enter Sandman's bumping. You know, if they pull this one out, you're looking probably at USC, the last game of the year, that might be the, you know, the next toughest. I don't know if you guys would agree. You guys are the home of the Irish. But I like Notre Dame here. I think and I think most people do, because this, you know, the odds makers opened this game at 2.5 point spread, and now it's 6.5. So that's a massive move. I mean, the odds makers kind of saw this game as two evenly matched teams, and the bettors vehemently disagreed, basically. And I'm on board with that. I think the Irish are going to, you know, light up the scoreboard, and I think Vatek, you know, Ryan Willis is the new quarterback there. He had a good day against Duke, but Notre Dame will bring the heat more than Duke did. So I like Notre Dame big in this one.
Georgia is 5-0 to this point in the season. Against the spread, they're 2-2-1. I don't think any of us think that Vanderbilt can beat Georgia, but can Georgia cover the spread of 26 that I'm looking at right now?
I think so. I can't find any. There's, you know, Alabama's the best team in the country. 0-3 against the spread, by the way, in the last 3 weeks, but I digress.
Yeah.
But Georgia, you know, I was skeptical on them when they played. Who was it a few weeks ago where they were on the road as a huge crowd? Maybe South Carolina.
South Carolina.
And they just beat the tar out of them, and it wasn't even close. You know, I've watched them a couple of times since then, and I you know, Jake Fromm is just, you know, he hits 80% of his passes. You weren't sure about the running game because they had to replace, you know, two NFL caliber talents, and they, you know, they're just as good right now. I've seen Vanderbilt. You know, I saw Vanderbilt against Notre Dame, and you know, if Brandon Wimbush, you know, if Book was in there, it wouldn't have been close, probably. So, you know, I like Georgia. I like Georgia big tonight. I think they'll cover.
Adam, if it went,
there's a few.
No. If we went to the website sportsline.com, what would we find?
You would find a lot of it's a pretty neat site. I've been there for about a year and a half, and they have odds makers, you know, some of the top odds makers from Vegas, from all over the world, actually, especially, you know, for soccer they drag people, and for hockey. But you'll probably find you know, there's a lot of Vegas legends, former odds makers who worked in the casinos there, longtime career professional handicappers who've been doing it for 30 years, who have run casinos, who are now, you know, Sportsline handicappers. They've really exploded in the last year. They made a concerted effort. You know, it used to be, you know, CBS Sports used to be CBS Sportsline, and they kind of, you know, took the Sportsline brand and branched it off when they saw that sports gambling was about to, you know, explode all over the world, including Illinois, hopefully pretty soon.
All right.
they've really used a concerted effort to bring in the top handicappers from around the nation, and it showed. It's a subscription based site. You can, you know, the first month is $1, I think, just so people can kind of see what it is, and then the retention rate is really good. They've exploded from, you know, 14,000 to 70,000 subscribers in the last year and a half.
Well,
so I think it's become a premier come here site for anybody that wants just a little advice.
Adam, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on the show. Looking forward to tonight's games.
Me too. Good luck, guys. Good luck, Irish.
Adam Thompson from Sportsline.com with us here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. We turn now to Matt Schick, who covers college football for does a great job covering for the game day coverage on the radio for ESPN Radio. He says everyone should root for Notre Dame. Think about this. He goes, as well as Notre Dame is going, everyone should root for Notre Dame.
I said this a couple of weeks ago on Campus Conversation about rooting for Notre Dame for chaos, but I think you also need to root for Notre Dame simply for drama, you know, at the end. Because when you think about what we're talking about so far this season, it's the same teams we were talking about last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Alabama, it's Ohio State, it's Georgia, it's Clemson, it's Oklahoma. It's becoming very predictable, and I was thinking about as we head into this week and week six, we're nearly at the halfway point, and it's been an enjoyable season, but it's been very predictable at this point. So I'm wondering if there's something out there that needs to happen. I'm not saying to save the season, but to create the drama, because I don't know that at the top you're going to see the upsets that you want to see, and maybe the drama centers on Notre Dame keep on winning, so at least on that selection day, we've got some drama.
So maybe after everything that is going to be all settled, right? I'm still rattled from the last interview, but after everything has just settled down, right? When it comes to the undefeated teams or teams with one loss, Adam, wouldn't you say that Notre Dame has the best opportunity to run that table out of all the teams that have either one loss or undefeated at this point in time?
Besides Alabama?
Yeah, but besides them. They're not in the conversation.
Okay. Yeah, I would say besides Alabama that Notre Dame has the easiest schedule. As Adam Thompson so eloquently put, the last tough game on their schedule after today will be USC, and Chris Black scoffed at that immediately. As the guy who follows USC more than anybody, you know that that game is going to be a blowout for Notre Dame. So after, we said it last week, you know, in Notre Dame's game, get past Stanford, and you're going to make it to the college football playoff. So I don't think that changes today just because Virginia Tech won last week and now they're ranked. That doesn't change for me. Notre Dame still is, to me, is going to be undefeated. Now, I think the added element of a young quarterback making his third start, going into the hostile environment at Lane Stadium, all that stuff, Enter Sandman, all that stuff, whatever, that's fine. I still think their defense is going to carry them. I still think they're going to be one of the best teams in the country at the end of the season. Now, Oklahoma did them a huge favor because Notre Dame doesn't have a championship game. Notre Dame doesn't have that conference championship like the rest of these schools do, where they can dominate and then it's another notch in their belt to say, hey, we deserve to be in the college football playoff. So they, not only do they have to play well, but they have to remain in everybody's mind, because this isn't a computer just spitting out results anymore. So when Alabama beats Georgia, and let's say they're both undefeated going into that game, and it's only by a field goal at the end of that game, and people are making a case to say, hey, these are the two best teams in the country, and they just fought it out, and Alabama won by a field goal, or Georgia won by a field goal, and we saw how they dominated teams the whole year. Someone has to be like, hey, what about Notre Dame?
Yeah,
we haven't seen them in a week, but, you know, they're pretty good. They're undefeated.
Well, this is what works to Notre Dame's advantage. They're America's team. Mm-hmm. And even if you're someone listening to the show saying, oh, I hate Notre Dame, why would they're not America's, they're America's team. They're the only team that plays on NBC. They have their own TV contract. They don't have a conference, so they float about. They do play teams in the ACC, but they control their own destiny. And I think the fact that they don't have to play in a conference championship game, because it could look on the bad side as well as the good side. You mentioned it as like a positive. You win it, you get into the playoff. You could also get thumped in that game and then be out.
Sure.
We have seen teams do that as well. And Notre Dame not having that game, if they go into that final weekend, I get Abdallah, say, hey, Notre Dame's still here. But guess what? It's Notre Dame. Of course, we're going to, if they're an undefeated team, we're all going to know that they're the undefeated team and they'll get into the playoff. It's Notre Dame. Come on.
It's just good to hear like refreshing thoughts. You know, just this free-flowing, refreshing thoughts right here on the show.
I don't know what happened earlier.
Are you saying Condoleezza Rice is going to show up with a golden helmet on and
yes!
Be like, Notre Dame is here?
The Fighting Irish are back. Here they come.
We should have had Condoleezza in the last segment.
The CCT Scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Here's Chris Black. Chris?
You did do a good job of closing that out while Abdel and I were both laughing on the floor.
At least he didn't tell us it wasn't a big game.
Clemson is up at the end of three on West and Wake Forest, 49-3. At the end of three, Florida and LSU. Florida is up 14-13 on LSU. Yeah, it would have. 14-13. Florida State is up big on Miami at the moment, 27-7 with 7 minutes left in the third quarter. Ohio State and Indiana. Ohio State's up 35-20 on Indiana with 13 minutes left in the third quarter. We take a look down, scrolling down the scoreboard. Iowa State up big on Oklahoma, 40-28 on Oklahoma State. 12 minutes left in that ball game. And out in Colorado, Colorado and Arizona State tied at 21 with 6:36 left in the third quarter. There's also one other game going on in the Big Ten right now with two unranked teams, Iowa and Minnesota. Iowa leads 38-24 with 4 minutes left in the third quarter.
It is Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000.
I've been watching this Florida State-Miami game on the small screen here that Jonathan provides on his iPad.
The personal iPad over there.
The personal iPad, so we have a four screen. This is what Florida State was supposed to look like.
Yeah.
Like, this is, they're running the ball well. They're taking advantage of bad field position mistakes by Miami. There's some chippiness to this game. This is what Florida State-Miami should be. Now, Miami should be hanging a little bit better in this game. Like Chris said, there's 7 minutes left in the third quarter. But this is what I believe people thought Florida State was going to look like. Maybe they're a little bit more up because this is Miami.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what Florida State was supposed to be. And they just, for some reason, haven't been able to put it together this year.
And the other game taking place in Florida right now, Florida and LSU, I think this is what most people thought would happen in this game. It's a good old-fashioned slobber knocker.
It's a bowling shoe ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Defenses ruling the day, 14-13 in the fourth quarter. Either team can win with a field goal. Who's going to make a mistake in the fourth quarter?
Well, you go from watching the Red River Shootout that had 50 points each in it.
Well,
and then,
rivalry.
And then you go, no, it's a shootout. And then you rivalry. Go to Florida rivalry. LSU, and it's just run the ball, stop. Well, the ball stops.
Well, you go from the Big 12 to the SEC.
Yeah, but that's not. But no, this is not SEC football anymore.
That's some good old fashioned SEC football taking place in the swamp now.
This game might as well be in black and white.
All right. Okay. So, Eric, I will ask you, who do you like right now? Florida's leading LSU 14-13. Which team do you like to win?
I'm kind of a Gator fan, so I'm gonna roll with Gators on that.
Florida chomp.
See how easy that was. You're listening to Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We should have had Eric on. Eric should have gave his picks. It would have been a much better 10 minutes.
We still have time in this segment.
I will never get that 10 minutes
Eric's
back.
Picks. All right, Eric, next game up for you. Auburn at Mississippi State. The line is 3.5. Auburn is the favorite. Where are you going there?
I'll say Stidham has a bounce-back game, and Auburn covers.
Yeah, there you go.
He's got knowledge. It's like he's listening to the show he produces. I love it. Okay, Eric, Washington, 20.5-point favorite against Chip Kelly and UCLA. A very bad UCLA team. Washington was supposed to be a playoff team, but they lost to Auburn the first game of the season. How do you see this one shaking out?
I don't think Chip Kelly and the Bruins get off the snide. I say Washington wins and covers the big number.
See?
Eric's picks.
That's it.
Eric's love
picks.
It.
See? Perfect. Concise. Perfect. Why did we not use him the first 10 minutes instead of that Eric. Nonsense from Green Bay that we just had on?
One more question.
And calling our area Land of Lincoln like we're a license plate.
One more question for you.
He will never be on the show again.
One more question for you real quick. Tonight, Lane Stadium, Notre Dame looks to remain undefeated. We all know an Enter Sandman's going to be a factor. We all know the decibel meter's going to be out. We're going to be checking on some DBs late in that game as the crowd gets riled up. Let me ask you simply, yes or no, is this a big game?
Yes.
Yeah!
Eric Spicks. Yes.
We got to do that more often. Much better than what we just had. Speaking of Jarrett Stidham, it's funny that you mentioned that. Jarrett Stidham, the quarterback for Auburn, as Auburn takes on Mississippi State. Auburn 4-1, the number 8 team in the country. Molly McGrath on Jarrett Stidham. She has more.
Well, I talked to Jarrett Stidham earlier this week, and
it's interesting when you have a quarterback that admits that they're having some problems up front with their offensive line, and that's exactly what he did. I mean, the coaches have told us they're not physical enough at the line of scrimmage. Their offensive linemen are getting beaten. Jarrett Stidham is taking a serious beating, and there's a lot of mistakes that are happening, things that are easily avoidable. I mean, they had 6 penalties in the first quarter of the Southern Miss game last week alone, and that's not faring well for Jarrett Stidham. And, you know, when I watched the past couple games with him, he's either scrambling in a broken pocket and he's not very good on those unbalanced throws, or he's thrown a bomb down the field. He acknowledged to me that he needs to find something in between. He needs to find a little more of a rhythm with some intermediate passes. He's also going to run the ball a little bit more for Auburn. And that's something that they've sorely been missing this year is, you know, a consistent running back. Mm-hmm. They had one in Kerryon Johnson last year. There's a lot expected of a junior Cam Martin this year. He just hasn't been consistent for them. So they've looked to Booby Whitlow, a redshirt freshman. But Whitlow left last week's game with an injury. When I requested to talk to him this week, I was denied access to him. They said that there's a chance he's probably not going to play. That's why I can't speak to him. So it's just not a good look for Auburn. And this is an Auburn team, just one of two teams in FBS that's had a 1,000-yard rusher for the past 9 seasons. That's in jeopardy this year.
So the thoughts there from Molly McGrath on Jarrett Stidham. Auburn is a 3.5-point favorite in this one. Chris, what do you think of this matchup here tonight?
You know, you look at the other side for Nick Fitzgerald, the quarterback for Mississippi State. He also has the second-worst QBR in all of the SEC. So I think a lot of people thought that Mississippi State was going to have a good quarterback rolling into the season and Moorhead, the new head coach, and they were going to kind of roll on offense. Things haven't really worked that way. I think Auburn is the better team heading into this game, as Eric picked in Eric's picks there. I like the Tigers, and I think they continue to play well as they have so far this season.
I think that all they need is for Nick Fitzgerald to be mediocre for Mississippi State, because you look at Auburn's one loss, it was to LSU, and Jake Burrow went 15 of 34 for 250 yards and a touchdown. He was mediocre. He didn't complete 50% of his passes, but them having the time of possession and being able to convert third downs with Jake Burrow's caused them to win that close game. Now, if Mississippi State can do that and keep it close, and Fitzgerald is just mediocre, 50% completion percentage right around there, Mississippi State can pull the upset.
Well, hold on, though. Mississippi State has a different defense than LSU. LSU is a grade a step above. So just saying that Fitzgerald can just play average and then beat Auburn, I'm not so sure about that.
Well, Mississippi State is trying to get off their 2-game losing streak, losing to Kentucky and losing to Florida by 7. Big game. And then, of course, LSU is the next game, as you mentioned, Chris. October 20th will be the next game. Mississippi State will be in Baton Rouge for that game, then Texas A&M. So Mississippi State trying to be able to keep their head above water and maybe get themselves in a bowl game if they can win at least 3 more games in the SEC West. By the way, we'd be remiss if we didn't say something about Illinois' victory in their last win of the season against Rutgers. You and I, we pinpointed this. Like, if there's going to be another win on the schedule for Illinois, it'd be Rutgers. And you look at the rest of that schedule, it just does not seem likely that Illinois can win another one.
Yeah, they win today 38-17 over Rutgers. They're 3-2 on the season. How about this? 14 points in the fourth quarter today for the Fighting Illini. And, you know, here's the thing, right? Bottom feeders of the Big Ten, can you surprise and delight the rest of the way out?
I don't think so. I don't think so. You see the schedule.
Purdue, Wisconsin, Maryland, Minnesota, Nebraska.
Nebraska, ooh. Boom, right there.
Well, no, Scott Frost getting his first win at home.
Against Illinois?
Right there.
Yikes.
Iowa, and then the battle for the land of Lincoln. Ugh. Against Northwestern.
Well, you know, what's funny is it's lost. Just kind of come up in conversation, but you guys mentioned in Eric's picks on UCLA being one of the worst teams in the country. I agree that they are one of the worst Power 5 teams in the country.
Without question.
Who is worse, UCLA or Nebraska?
Nebraska.
Because both teams are horrific.
Yeah.
Because I think if the two teams had to fight, I would like, or play football, whichever they want to do, I think I would like UCLA because I still think Chip Kelly's a better coach.
They'd probably
Scott
be
Frost.
Better off fighting, wouldn't, yeah, don't you maybe. Think?
I'm not so sure. What purses? That's not going to get it done.
Get those country-fed boys from Nebraska.
I don't think that. I mean, but you, to be fair, these are two rebuilds.
Yeah, it is. Two rebuilds with two high-profile coaches. But I think to this point, what we've seen from both of them, both teams and both programs are so far behind. They're going to take a lot of time to rebuild both programs. And, you know, it will be interesting. If Lovey loses to Scott Frost in Nebraska, that's not going to be good for the U of I program. But Chip Kelly and UCLA, that's a terrible program as well.
Adam, read what you have in front of you. Please read for the audience what you have in front of you. Make me feel bad.
From Adam Thompson on Twitter.
Oh, no.
@_Adam_Thompson. Just making sure there's not another underscore. There is another underscore.
Okay.
@_Adam_Thompson_. Go Irish, UK, and Georgia, and also Wisconsin, and this guy. And it's a gif of Mike Leach.
I love Mike Leach.
He's still not coming on the show again.
You love college football? You've come to the right place. Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Texas is back, folks!
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Here's Chris Black. Chris?
Thank you, Jonathan. 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Clemson's up 56-3 over Wake Forest. LSU in Florida. LSU just scored a touchdown. They are now up, I believe, 19-14 on Florida with 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They went for two. They missed the two-point conversion, so it's a five-point ball game between LSU and Florida. 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Florida State, Miami. It's getting closer. Florida State 27, Miami 20 with 4 minutes left in the third quarter. Abdallah has a live in-game score.
I will tell you this. The turnover, if I can speak.
Oh, here it comes.
The turnover chain has emerged, and Miami is taking over on the Florida State 15-yard line.
In-game sandwich bet?
Yeah, I am betting.
We continue on with scores. Ohio State touchdown. And Indiana.
Oh, another one.
Here comes the U.
Oh, so 27-26 pending the extra point?
27-21 pending the extra point.
Oh. Isn't that what you said earlier?
Yeah, that's what we said. So continuing on here on the scoreboard, as Abdallah's watching this game on delay over there.
It's not my iPad.
Derailing the entire show for his delayed iPad. All right. Ohio State, 35-20 over Indiana with 7 minutes left in the third quarter. Other scores in the top 25. Iowa State still up, but only up by 5 now on Oklahoma State. Iowa State 40. Oklahoma State 35 with 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. 21-all Arizona State and Colorado with 3 minutes left in the third quarter. And there is another game going on in the Big Ten, not ranked. Iowa 38, Minnesota 24 with 12 minutes left in the fourth. Jonathan?
Now time for our Saturday night specials.
It's time to put money in your pocket.
What's wrong making a few bucks on the side?
It's the Saturday night special.
You want some of this, don't you?
Yeah!
Well, you need to know the winner. And I know the winner.
It's time to put money in your pocket. Yeah. It's the Saturday night special on Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000.
All right, place your bet.
Mr. Saturday night.
Follow us on Twitter at ESPN1000CCT. Jonathan, Adam, and Chris with you. For my first pick, even though I am donning the Wyoming t-shirt today, I got the Wyoming Cowboys, I'm repping them today because it was laundry day at the Hood household. You know what? Hawaii's had a nice year. We have not talked about them enough, but they've had a nice year. They're not 5-1. Hawaii still remains the most interesting and fun team going right now. The offense is still a blast. You know, the game's always entertaining. But the Cowboys just can't get things going. The offense is amongst the worst in the nation in passing, third downs, and total yards. It doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes on defense, but they're just not that great against the run. Wyoming is shockingly mediocre against the pass, giving up 300 yards in three of the last four games, and all losses, by the way. I see that Hawaii is a two-point favorite against Wyoming. I do see the I'll give you Hawaii -2. But I also will tell you that might go under 54, just as a little side tip. So Hawaii -2 in the late night creep at 11 p.m. tonight, the last game on the docket for college football. Chris?
All right, guys, this isn't one of my picks, but I just want to know, does anyone want to get in on this Florida money line? Live gambling, it's plus 210 right now.
Woo!
Florida has the ball. They're down 14-19, 14 on LSU, plus 210. Outright money line. Is this something we should play?
And as I watch,
Florida is going to win this game.
As I watch on a slight delay,
You sure over there?
Slight delay.
Are you like a quarter behind?
As I watch on a slight delay.
What are you doing?
I will tell you, it is turnt. It is turnt in Miami.
We now have live coverage of the Miami-Florida State game for you, Abdallah, so you don't have to give us scores 2 minutes late.
I'm 90 seconds behind.
Yeah, that's not so bad.
Yeah, well, we could tell in the update.
And we're 8 seconds behind on the radio.
So are we going to play this Florida? Do we think Florida can beat LSU? Is this something?
I say yes. What do you say, Adam?
I had them earlier. Like, I already picked them to win. So,
straight up?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I had them plus. Oh, plus two is basically like betting them to win. So, I'll get down.
Yes, I say yes.
The other one I see is Oklahoma State. They're down 5 right now with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter to Iowa State. They're plus 150 on the money line.
Layoff.
We don't think Oklahoma State can come back and win this?
Yes, but don't hit sand.
All right. So my first pick for tonight, Kentucky plus the 6. Here's the deal. I like that Kentucky's defense is so good, 5th in the nation. S&P plus, Kentucky is 15th overall. Texas A&M is 22nd. I think this game will be close. So if you're going to give me 6 points plus that good defense, even if Texas A&M wins the game outright, I like the Wildcats plus the 6 points as my first pick.
All right, Adam?
The theme of my 3 guys is chalk. I like a lot of chalk tonight.
Here we go.
That's what the schedule is.
That's what the schedule is right now. So I am going to go with the, I think it's a big game. I don't know if you guys think it's a big game. I know Eric thinks it's a big
Eric
game.
Picks.
Notre
Eric
Dame
picks.
Against Virginia
Eric
Tech.
Picks.
I think that Virginia Tech, they're a decent team. I think Notre Dame is a championship-level team, at least a college football playoff-level team. I think their dominating offense kind of takes over. I think Ian Book has another good game against a very bad team against the pass in Virginia Tech. I like Notre Dame -7 on the road.
All right, our Saturday night specials here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app for our program for week number 6. Number 2 for me is Kentucky, Texas A&M. You know, it's been an amazing run for Kentucky, and this team has been the real deal so far, especially with Snell, along with that defense, pretty solid. But Texas A&M has the right makeup in the mix to come back for a victory, I believe. The Aggies, they're not going to shut down Snell, but they're going to do enough to be able to get it done. I'm going to lay off, and I will just tell you, with all that analysis, I will take the over in the Kentucky-Texas A&M game.
I'm at the
game.
Window here. Come on.
Yeah. No, Texas. No, cover. I will say that the number I'm going to lay off of, but I will say the over 49 for this one, Chris.
All right, my second pick.
Do you agree with that? Do you think it'll go over or no? No?
I wouldn't play that.
Nah. I think it'll go over tonight.
I think that sounds good for you. I wouldn't play.
Okay.
Is that a nice way of saying that I disagree?
No, it's fine. I'm just asking.
All right, my second pick, Washington tonight going against UCLA. The number's at 20.5 at the moment. So just shy of 3 touchdowns and the extra points. You are looking at one of the worst teams in the Power 5 in UCLA. They are atrocious. First downs this season, the Washington Huskies have 119 first downs. UCLA has 64. Not only is their defense bad, their offense is one of the worst in all categories, rushing, passing, everything all combined for UCLA. Washington's defense is good. I think the Huskies win big. Give me Washington -20.5 points.
If I had to go with a sub-theme for my last two, and by the way, Chris, as our good friends at the Solid Verbal say, we agree. Because I am also going with Washington. My sub-theme for my last two picks are going to be we're going to beat up on the Broke Boys. So I think what we're going to do here is we're going to beat up on Chip Kelly first, and we are going to take Washington -20.5. And Eric also agreed with that pick when we got Eric's picks earlier in the show.
Yes, that is a UCLA team that is going the wrong direction. 0-4, by the way. And the over-under for that, I don't know if you have that in front of you. I have a 54 for that particular game as well. Number 10, Washington on the road in Westwood. And number 3 for me is going to be Chalky McChalkerson. Nebraska, Wisconsin.
Here we go.
If Martinez isn't going to move the chains, this is going to get ugly fast. Wisconsin leads the Big Ten with time of possession, keeping the ball for over 35 minutes. And now the Badgers have had 2 weeks off. They've had rest. They had a dinged up line, by the way. The offensive line was dinged up. Nebraska is dead last in the Big Ten in time of possession, keeping it for under 28 minutes. I just don't see how – I'm not sure how Nebraska can score. But I will just go straight up with the 18. Wisconsin, 18-point favorite with Nebraska. I'll take that 18. Adam?
I'm going to jump ahead of Chris, Jonathan, if I may, because we agree on that one. I am also going to go with Wisconsin. As I said, we're going to beat up on the Broke Boys, and Scott Frost is most definitely a Broke Boy, and I will take that 18. Thank you very much. Wisconsin is going to run up. It might be close at halftime, I think. You know, it's fine, whatever. But then eventually, Nebraska's going to be Nebraska, and Wisconsin's going to be Wisconsin. I also might take a little bit on the over in that game. I like the over in that game. It's up to, like, 60 now.
They're going to fire Frost at halftime.
But look, listen, I don't know if Wisconsin can score 60.
60 and a half.
I don't know, but I like chasing points at night. It's fun to watch points at night. So, but I'm going to stick with as my official pick. I'm going to go Wisconsin minus 18 like you did.
All right, so we were just talking a couple minutes ago about live gambling in the fourth quarter of LSU in Florida. Florida has scored a touchdown. They now have the lead 20-19. We should have placed that bet when we had it.
Made it. Told you to push it through.
Should we push through the Oklahoma State ones
though? No, I mean, that's
up to
you.
We're down 5, 6 minutes left.
I wouldn't do that, but go ahead.
All right. Okay, my final pick, guys. We have yet to do this. This is week 6 of our show, Chicago's College Tailgate. And this is the first time we are all on this very same bet.
Good God Almighty.
I'm dropping in as well. I'm going Wisconsin minus the 18 on an atrocious Nebraska Cornhusker squad. I think Wisconsin runs it up big. Take the points. Wisconsin covers that. Badgers minus 18 for the pick.
That means someone should put some money on Nebraska.
Triple stack.
Go right ahead. I love the triple stack. Quality! And that is your Saturday night specials here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app.
There you have it.
Jonathan, Adam, and Chris with you. Sir Eric, do you have the playoff predictor handy? The playoff predictor, because we are running short on time as we are getting ready for Notre Dame and Va Tech top of the hour right here on ESPN 1000. Now time for the playoff predictor.
Chicago's College Tailgate. The playoff predictor. Sure, it's a guess, but it's as educated of a guess as there can be.
Because when it comes to deciding the four teams in the playoff, everything matters.
In a game of hypotheticals.
Who's in?
I don't know if that voice is like Mark Malone or Tom Rinaldi. You know who that is?
No, I don't.
It has a Mark Malone sound to him. Remember him?
Yeah.
So now let's take a look at the playoff predictor. Here's Chris Black. Chris?
Okay, guys, so this is the way I see it at the moment. I see number one overall is Alabama. I don't think there's much conversation there. Georgia's going to play tonight against Vanderbilt. I don't think they move off of the post at number two.
Correct.
I think number three, who is having their way at the moment with Indiana, is Ohio State. And I think number four, based on what we are seeing them do today, is Clemson. They had a rocky time last week. Right now up 56-3 on Wake Forest in the fourth quarter. So my four would be Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, and Clemson. Everyone else playing behind them.
I think Clemson, Adam, has reestablished themselves here because, okay, it's Wake Forest. All right, fine. But we didn't know if Lawrence was going to be concussed or if he was going to be take a step back. But he finished right now, 4 minutes left in the game, 20 for 25, good for 175 yards and 2 touchdowns for Lawrence, the quarterback for Clemson. So they are trying to solidify themselves as the number four team in the country right now.
I wanted to see how his shoulder would respond to getting hit again. And, I mean, I'm sure he's taking some shots against Wake Forest. So I like them as well. If I'm picking out four teams to be in the playoff, I think it's going to be Alabama, followed by Clemson number two, Ohio State number three, and Notre Dame number four. Those are my four playoff
teams. Well, and remember, if we're going to start comparing resumes, both Clemson and Notre Dame have a like opponent, Wake Forest. And Notre Dame beat Wake Forest 56-27. Today, Clemson is just rolling 56-3 on Wake Forest.
I agreed with your list. I had Oklahoma in that four until today. Now I'm going to slip because I didn't think Clemson would be as impressive here. But now with Clemson with this big victory here against Wake Forest, I'm going to put them back in my four.
You can put back Oklahoma. You can also, based on what happens over the next 8 minutes in Gainesville, LSU, who they are down by 1 point right now to Florida, 20-19. So LSU, if they lose today, will get put back. And then also they're in that category with Auburn. And then we have to kind of see, what do we all think about West Virginia? Because they're undefeated. They're a Power 5 school. They have a Heisman quarterback. But is their strength of schedule good enough to make them into that conversation with Notre Dame? The next one's out.
Well, that'll be decided when Oklahoma, then they play Oklahoma, won't it? Because if they lose to Oklahoma, it's the end of, end of the conversation.
And that is our playoff predictor right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Tebow, he calls out Bama fans. Tebow calls out Bama fans.
Listen, I agree with him. I love it. I think the fans are getting so entitled there at Alabama, specifically the students. Listen, as a student, you've done nothing to win all these titles, okay? You spent a little bit of your daddy's money to show up at a game and to go to school there. But you need to, you say you're the best fans in college football. Well, you need to show up. I don't care if you're playing Louisiana, whoever, if you're playing Hoover High School, you show up to the game and you support your team, because if you want to say you're the best fans in the country, you show up every game no matter what. Coach Saban is right. Alabama students, you need to show up for your team.
Adam?
Worry about making the Mets.
Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. All of the latest college football scores, previews, and lines. You love college football? Tailgate with us. Along with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah, here's Jonathan Hood.
Notre Dame and Vatek tonight right here on ESPN 1000. Brian Kelly says Vatek will take shots down the field.
Well, it certainly prepares you. They do it differently. You know, they're a, they're a team that just runs their offense differently. So it's part of what they do. Much more of a first down. It's going to come at any time. I think Stanford, you knew it was much more of a third down and red zone. This is part of what they do.
So thoughts there from Brian Kelly. Adam, you thinking Notre Dame straight up wins this game tonight?
Oh, yeah. I think they win. I think they cover. That's why I picked them in my picks. I think this is a big game.
And again, thank you very much. And Frank Beamer night for Vatek. Different atmosphere, though, Chris, with it being under the lights for Vatek.
Absolutely. And I think the stat to kind of point out that's going to be the difference in this one, defensive yards per play. Vatek is 73rd in the country. And a new and improved Ian Book offense for the Fighting Irish and Notre Dame, I think they're going to be able to move the ball. They're going to be able to score. And we all know that Notre Dame's defense is really good, top five. So I think Notre Dame wins this one.
You want to find out what some of these young quarterbacks have. You want to see if they get hit in the mouth, can they respond? We'll see if that happens to Book tonight against Vatek in a hostile environment. We thank you for listening and being part of the program here on Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000. Erica Strowski on the other side of the glass, we thank you for listening. And we're back next week, right? It's Notre Dame Pitt.
At 11 a.m. we'll be on.
What?
11 to 12:30 Central Time. Join us for Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000. For Adam and Chris, it's Jonathan Hood. Thanks so much for joining us right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Thank you, Adam Thompson.
Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
He's still talking.